770-5790. Toll free 1-800-687-0790. We continue with our discussion with the different candidates running for city council. And again, thank Deanne Clark for joining me and joining me in studio right now to talk about his campaign for District 1, Frank Gutierrez. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Go ahead and scoot up there to the microphone. How are you?
Good. Windy out there, and like a lot of other people, the sinuses are kicking in.
That's so. Right. I understand that.
Well, thanks for this opportunity to visit with you again and share some of our ideas and views
on
the City Council District 1 race. And I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Well, you have you've been block walking. You've been talking to the residents in District 1, and there's an idea. It's a three-person race in District 1. And District 1, traditionally, pretty low turnout. The entire city has a low turnout. District 1 has a very low turnout. How do you get people out there to vote for you? Because this is going to be truly a get-out-the-vote effort, correct?
Absolutely. And that's what we're doing daily, weather permitting. We're out knocking on doors, and what folks are telling us is what's in their hearts and what's in their minds and what's in their pocketbooks and what's not in their pocketbooks. And what I mean by that is they're concerned about LPNL and the billing issue and that has arisen as a result of the city council voting to implement a rate increase in June, contrary to the recommendation of high-paid consultants to do it in October. So that's causing some friction in the community, mm-hmm. and that's what they're telling us. All the other issues are irrelevant, it seems, because they are taking a hit in their pocketbooks.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you relieve that hit? One of your opponents had a press conference yesterday, said that they would not vote for another rate increase. Well, that doesn't really reduce, what people are feeling. May help out in the future. What is your plan to attack it?
Well, there's not much you can do to decrease the cost of electricity, and there are some expected increases. However, there are some charges that are being assessed that may be questionable. I wouldn't have insight into that because I don't have that spreadsheet. However, there are ways to be able to alleviate the pain and suffering that this is causing on some in the community. And what I mean by that is that folks are having to make a decision as to whether they should buy medicine or food or pay their utility. And, of course, they have to pay the utility. So we've got to find ways to diminish the effect that it's having on some folks. Some can handle it. Some are not paying attention at all. But in our block walking, that comes up. As soon as we introduce ourselves, that is what comes up.
So what is your plan?
Well, my plan is to, at some point, put on the table a discussion as to what should we do with LPNL itself. I think the board needs to come under control of the city council. I think it's a situation where you have the tail wagging the dog. And the council is beholden, in just my opinion, to the LPNL board. As a result, you've got the perception of friction on the council and friction between the board and then the quote unquote drama that has transpired over these recent months. That's a concern. As far as how to affect it, I think that we have to anticipate more increases as a result of the needs of the community. Mm-hmm. And of course we have an RFP proposal in place that has to be followed through. So we won't know the true effect until that point.
When you're out talking to people and you're block walking and they're telling you, look, I'm having to choose between paying electric bill, going out and buying medicine, going out and buying this. It's hurting the pocketbook. We can't go out to eat maybe as much as we used to. We can't do this. Do you tell them, hey, look, there's going to be more increases in the future? Are you preparing them for that? And then if so, what is their response? And how can they, when they are maybe looking for relief, what are they looking for? Exactly. How can they look to you and then What are you going to do to help relieve the pain they're feeling?
Well, on the one hand,
if you're promising them that,
well, on the one hand, what they're saying is that, and they anticipate the increases. And so handling it, of course, is a matter of handling their personal budget. However, in order to alleviate some of the pain, there should be remedies in place at LPNL to help these folks. And what I mean by that is, for example, in customer service, that's the first point of contact for many of these folks. That has to be fixed. That has to be remedied to where folks feel comfortable in calling LPNL and making a payment arrangement. I'm not favorable to the fees that are being assessed when folks have to ask for a payment arrangement and then they're assessed another fee and then a reconnect fee. So we've got all kinds of fees floating all over the place, and there seems to be no control over that. And that's what needs to be, in the end, that's the city council's responsibility.
We'll, of course, have further discussion. We need to take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Frank Gutierrez, running for City Council, District 1. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We'll be right back. Back on the Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO, and visiting with candidate for City Council in District 1, Frank Gutierrez. It's a three-way race in that area, and of course, it's this could come down to a runoff. Are you running towards a runoff? You know, sometimes you have candidates who their whole goal is to get into a runoff. Or are you running to win this thing outright?
We're in it to win it, and that's why we're focusing on the door-to-door block walking campaign. We're getting very good response from the folks, and as I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons is because of the LPNL situation.
Sure.
Folks are not privy to all this information floating around about LPNL and to its true meaning and why we're in this situation, but they do feel the pain in their pocketbooks, and that's what we're hearing. They want some remedies, some solutions to the situation, and you have to tell them that there's going to be more increases. That can be affected and remedied so as to lessen the pain on some of these folks, so to speak. And that's, on the one hand, customer service, for example, and all the fees that are being assessed. Some of those fees are a mystery to, right, to folks. And now they're more aggressive in examining their bills and looking to see what it is that they're actually paying for. So that's a challenge for LPNL. In the end, I hope that and expect that the RFP proposal will go through smoothly and the council will be able to make a decision for the 2019 expected change in power needs.
Let me ask you about this, and this is different from LPNL. It seems as though in District 1, development is always talked about getting businesses to build, businesses to be brought into District 1. There's a concern among residents that District 1 is often ignored, a part of the city that's ignored. How do you, if elected a member of the city council, how do you get development to go out to District 1?
Economic development through human development is going to be an approach. And what I mean by that is I'm going to lead an effort to establish or reestablish a campus for a junior college that is needed in the Lubbock area. This would serve not only the downtown area and the people in central Lubbock, but it would also serve the small towns around here, such as Idaloo, Rawls, Lorenzo, for folks to be able to come in and receive training and be able to attend classes. That's one of the projects that I'm going to lead. It won't be by task force. It'll be by taking charge of the effort myself and leading the effort to be able to establish and revive a campus. If you recall, at one time, the old West Texas Hospital building housed the campus of South Plains College. All we need to do is just update those efforts and start over again. But I think that that would be one way to affect the downtown redevelopment. There's also discussion on the monorail and how it would be done. I think, and no one has told me, and I don't have reason to believe it, but I think that that's a good project for downtown Lubbock, because we have to start thinking more about the future of Lubbock, Texas. The issues we have before us right now are present-oriented. We need to be, and the council needs to be, more future-oriented because of the water crisis that we're facing and in already, because of the airport, an inadequate airport that we have right now, because the runways are insufficient to meet the needs of the future planes that are going to be available. And so I'm talking more about 20, 30, and 40, and 50 years in the future. Had we done this back when this community was first established, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Let me get back to the monorail, because you brought that up as a good idea for downtown. Obviously, you're not meaning tomorrow. It's not a good idea, right? You're meaning in the future, correct?
Well, it has to be talked about, because otherwise we're going to continue with the deterioration of downtown Lubbock. But my understanding is that that development is going to go on, and it should be. And it should be by the private sector. And that's what I'm encouraging, is the private sector to get involved in downtown redevelopment.
Well, how do you pay for the monorail, in your opinion?
Well,
do you think any city money needs to go into it?
Well, not other than the infrastructure and the necessary tools that any government has to provide. I think that it's possible to get federal funds to be able to support that. It's been done elsewhere, and it should be done in stages, as it has been done in other cities, it's my understanding. So it would have to be in stages, not only for Central Lubbock, but for expansion, because here's why. The future and the price of gasoline is without a doubt, is going to go up. There's no question about it. So we're going to have a crisis for many folks. They're not going to be able to afford to drive. So that if we have a transportation system that connects downtown Lubbock and the other communities, then we'll be in a much better situation.
So how long do you, because right now what's being planned on this is just basically a Texas Tech to downtown and over to the Depot District, downtown Cultural Arts District, back over to Texas Tech. Would you build it longer, I guess? Would you build a more encompassing rail system?
Remember, we're talking about 20, 30, 40 years. Why not? And because of the cost of being able to drive, and the cost of transportation is going to be immensely high, so we should be thinking about the future of Lubbock, Texas transportation needs.
But don't we already have – you look at City Bus, and you look at the bus system right now. One complaint from a lot of folks is that most of the buses they see, at least, are half empty. During the middle of the day, they're around, they're half empty. We've seen prices in gas – Since the Obama administration, it has shot up. Even before that, it has shot up, and you still don't see a lot of people riding buses.
That's true.
So do you really think that here in 10 years we're going to need a monorail that sweeps through all of Lubbock?
Well, I'm talking more about 20 and 30 years. Let's peer into the future. Let's try to peer into that crystal ball and look into the future. Again, it would be for purposes of being able to say, well, we're doing something about the expected crisis in any fuel is not unlimited. The cost is not, nothing's going to prohibit us from or prohibit the cost to rise. Mm-hmm. So that we have to or should be thinking about the monorail in this case, for it to be implemented and put in place in such a manner that it takes into consideration the needs of the future.
But as far as you're concerned with it, as far as local taxpayer money funding a monorail, building a monorail system, you're not for that?
No.
Okay. Let's look at water, something that we know is absolutely coming down, that we're going to have to take a look at. We look at Lake Ellen Henry. It is diminishing, and we could have a great rain here in the next few months, and it could refill, or it may not happen. We really don't know. We do know there is talk about building another pipeline, getting some other water efforts underway. If you're elected member of the city council, how do you attack this water issue going forward?
by not attacking it, by nurturing it. And what I mean by that is Buffalo Springs Lake is down the road, and it's spring-fed water. Why not tap into that resource? It's closer, and it's not uphill.
Into Buffalo Springs Lake?
Yes, okay. Buffalo Springs Lake. And that's one option. Conservation is also a way of being able to affect this. We see too much waste. And the burden of the lack of water, we all share that. In the first place, this was a desert before it was first settled. So that we're trying to affect something that, naturally speaking, it isn't conducive to what we're doing with dry land farming and such. We're exhausting the Ogallala Aquifer, and we're exhausting Lake Allen Henry is dry. Post is about to be, it's got a 4 month or 5 month water supply. So that I think that a discussion needs to be put on the table to utilize Buffalo Springs Lake to meet that need.
Do you know how much water or how much you would tap into Buffalo Springs Lake? I mean, or is this just something that we need to think about?
No, it's just something that makes sense because it's nearby and it's there and it's dammed up. And I think that at least a discussion should be on the table to meet the future needs of water.
When it comes to taxes, what is your philosophy when it comes to tax increases?
In this area, taxes are very unwanted. It's like the redheaded kid at the family reunion. You don't want them around. But at the same time, sometimes that you have to anticipate that there would be a tax increase. I wouldn't support it at this point unless I'm convinced that there's a need for there to be a tax increase. So having said that, I think that we have enough resources in the city to be able to pay for these needed services. And I think that it's a matter of bringing this budget under control and being able to eliminate waste.
We had a drive-by caller who was asking, why look 30, 40 years into the future when we have structures right now that are falling apart? He was referring to the police station. Is there a worry about looking too far in the future and not taking care of what we have right now, in your mind?
As far as the police station is concerned, I would support that because that's a matter of public safety. However, it would have to look at an option would be to refurbish one of the existing buildings that we have so many of in downtown Lubbock. Mm-hmm. But in order to be able to affect crime in all parts of the city, I think a proposal needs to be on the table to set up satellite offices in the
substations.
Different sectors, substations, right, in the different sectors of the city. Maybe one per district,
yep,
would suffice to be able to meet the needs of the public.
Frank Gutierrez, appreciate your time today.
Thank you, sir.